जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरीवर धारी यशोदा नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यशोदा नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीरावन चारी यमुना तीरावन चारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरीवर धारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरीवर धारी यशोदा नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यशोदा नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीरावन चारी यमुना तीरावन चारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरीवर धारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरीवर धारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरीवर धारी जय हरि नाम संकीर्तन की जय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। हरे कृष्ण। वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद्भागवतम कैंटो 5 चैप्टर नंबर 19 एंटाइटल्ड द आइलैंड ऑफ जम्बू द्वीप। श्लोका नंबर 16 17 एंड 18 फॉर डिस्कशन टुडे। And the shlokas are in prose form. They are not in a shloka form. So I have been advised not to read the shloka. I'll just read the translation and then we'll speak. So translation of 5.19.16. In the tract of land known as Bharatvarsha, As in Ilavrit Varsha, there are many mountains and rivers. Some of the mountains are known as Malaya, Mangalaprastha, Mainak, Trikut, Rishabha, Kutaka, Kollaka, Sahya, Devagiri, Rishamukha, Sri Shaila, Venkata, Mahendra, Varidhara, Vindhya, Shuktiman, Rikshagiri, Pariyatra, Drona, Chitrakut, Govardhan, Raivataka, Kakubha, Neela, Gokamukha, Indrakila, and Kamagiri. Besides these, there are many other hills with large and small rivers flowing from their slopes. There is no purport to this shloka. We'll go to text number 17 and 18. Again, this is also a prose, so we'll just read a translation and purport. Translation. So the previous shloka had a list of the mountains and hills, and this section has a list of the rivers of Bharatvarsha. Two of the rivers, the Brahmaputra and the Shona, are called nadas or main rivers. There are other great rivers that are very prominent. Chandravasa, Tamraparni, Avatoda, Kritamala, Vaihayasi, Kaveri, Veni, Payasvini, Sharkaravarta, Tungabhadra, Krishnavenya, Bhimarathi, Godavari, Nirvindhya, Payoshni, Tapi, Riva, Surasa, Narmada, Charmanvati, Mahanadi, Vedasmriti, Rishikulya, Trisama, Kaushiki, Mandakini, Yamuna, Saraswati, Drishadvati, Gomati, Sharayu, Rodhasvati, Saptavati, Sushoma, Shatadru, Chandrabhaga, Marudvridha, Vitasta, Asikni, and Vishwa. The inhabitants of Bharatvarsha are purified because they always remember these rivers. Sometimes they chant the names of these rivers as mantras, and sometimes they go directly to the rivers to touch them and bathe in them. Thus the inhabitants of Bharatvarsha become purified. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. All these rivers are transcendental. Therefore, one can be purified by remembering them, touching them, or bathing in them. This practice is still going on. Om Ajnanati Mirandhasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupah Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpataru Bhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhyayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Namaom Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale श्रीमते भक्तिवेदांत स्वामीनिति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वते देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देश तारिणे जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासदि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। So Hare Krishna, I am not a right person to speak a Bhagavatam class, but on the instructions of the local devotees, I am sitting here. I beg blessings from all of you who are seated here so that we can discuss something from Srila Prabhupada's presentation on the Srimad Bhagavatam. So this is a description of the island of Jambudvip, covering the entire universe. And shloka number 16 had a list of all the hills of Bharatvarsha, important hills. And text number 17 and 18 is a list of all the main rivers of Bharatvarsha. And it is mentioned in the translation, the inhabitants of Bharatvarsha are purified because they always remember these rivers. Sometimes they chant the names of these rivers as mantras, and sometimes they go directly to the rivers to touch them and bathe in them. Thus the inhabitants of Bharatvarsha become purified. So this section is telling us how just by taking birth in Bharatvarsha, so many things become very natural. So many hills were also mentioned here. Venkata, Venkata hills means Tirupati hills, Venkatadri. Raivatak, Raivat Parvat is from where Krishna and Balram jumped off when Jarasandha set fire. And Govardhan Parvat was mentioned. Kamagiri, Kamagiri is, if you go to Chitrakoot, you know that is called Kamadgiri. So in this way, so many hills, which hills are there all over the planet, but the hills in Bharatvarsha are special because some way they are connected to the pastimes of the Supreme Lord. And the rivers that were mentioned here, so many rivers are mentioned. Ganga, Yamuna, Saraswati. And then I saw the name of Kritamala. So one time I was reading this 8th canto, last chapter, which describes the Matsya Avatar. And we know of this king called Satyavrat. And he is handling that fish. When he goes to the river, he is offering some prayers. And from the river, a small little fish jumps into his hands. And then he again puts it, again it jumps, yes? And then the Matsya Avatar story goes on. So that happened in Kritamala River, according to the Bhagavatam. And I was searching, where is this Kritamala River? So then I came to know, in South India, there is a river called Vaigai. Anybody from Madurai area here? No? So in Madurai, just next to Madurai is the Vaigai River. And Vaigai River was originally called Kritamala River. So many rivers are connected to the pastimes of the Supreme Lord. Of course, Ganga is connected to Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Yamuna is connected to Lord Krishna. Sharayu is connected to Lord Ramchandra. Chandrabhaga is connected to, yes, Lord Vitthal. So we are so fortunate actually that just by being born in the Holy Land of India, we have access to so many rivers. I remember at one point of time in our Chobadi temple, one Russian Mataji had come, and she must be at least 70 years in age. And some devotee who was talking with her then later told us, Brahmacharis in the ashram, that this Mataji did not come from a very rich background. And when she was maybe 30 or 40, she came in touch with the devotees of ISKCON, and she developed a deep desire to visit Vrindavan. But for somebody who's born in Russia, to visit Vrindavan, what does it mean? It means first a passport, a visa, and second is air tickets. There is no train from Moscow to Mathura. What about for us? You know, we can get into a sleeper class, yes, with just little money. Just because you are born in India, this body is Indian. No hindrance in going to Ayodhya. What is the hindrance in going to Ayodhya? What is the hindrance in going to Vrindavan? What is the hindrance in going to Puri, Mayapur? What is the hindrance? Time availability. Right? But if you have time, little money, just catch a train. Simple, low-cost train. You can visit all the holy places. You can take bath in all the rivers. But that Mataji from Russia, she saved money for something like 20 to 25 years. Because airplanes are costly. And does not matter whether you are a devotee or a non-devotee. So 20 to 25 years she is saving money slowly. And after saving money, after in one sense starving herself, she saved money to come to Vrindavan. And with that consciousness she came to Vrindavan. And I was thinking that so many of us Indians, at least, you know, I don't have the eagerness to go to Vrindavan. Yes. Yesterday when His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj was speaking, in the middle of the class, he looked at Madan Mohan Temple and he said, when we look at Madan Mohan Temple, we don't see carved stone. We remember Sanatan Goswami's story, how Sanatan Goswami was a big minister. So, basically, for so many exalted devotees, these structures lead to Uddipan. They remind them of the original story, and I saw a board here. This Vrindavan forest is not a replacement for the original Mathura Vrindavan that is there. This Vrindavan forest is for those who want to feel a longing in their heart. And in our own homes, in our own temples, probably we don't have that longing in the course of our services. So you come to this Vrindavan forest and you look at this Yamuna river, and let that Uddipan happen. And then this Yamuna river should create a longing for the Yamuna river. This Madan Mohan temple should create a longing for the Madan Mohan temple. This Govindji temple should create a longing. So this whole Vrindavan forest is for you. I'll talk about myself. This Vrindavan forest is for me to develop the longing that that Russian lady had. Yes. So many times, I'm just reminding myself, just to be born in this land which is today called India and which is being referred in the Bhagavatam as Bharatvarsha, we are just so fortunate to be born in Bharatvarsha. Saffron clothes means it represents something, renunciation, purity. Yes. I remember the first time Prabhupada took his disciples for Sankirtan. Kirtanananda Maharaj was wearing a dhoti. And when they started, the Leelamrit mentions some of the Americans they saw. And sometimes they make fun. So they said, hey, you forgot to take off the bed sheet. So they are saying, you slept on the bed sheet and you took the bed sheet and now you are wound up on it. You forgot to take off the bed sheet. They are making fun of the first Sankirtan. So dhoti is foreign for them. Saffron color is foreign for them. In India, so many nice things we are taught. So Srila Prabhupada would say, Vedic culture is like an elephant. And even if there is a degradation of Vedic culture, which we can prominently see in Kali Yuga, he said, even if you go to some parts of India where Vedic culture is almost dead, he's comparing it to a dead elephant. What is the use of a dead elephant? Prabhupada said, even the dead elephant is very valuable because of the ivory. The ivory tusks are... So when the elephant is living, it's very valuable, it's very royal, and it can do great tasks for you. But even if that elephant drops down dead, still it is valuable. So Vedic culture is so valuable for us. Bathing in rivers, very natural. Remembering rivers, very natural. Some of us who are Brahmanas, second initiated, you know, we purify water in the DT room by remembering the seven holy rivers. So just by remembering those rivers And putting our fingers in the water, we are basically, you know, invoking the holiness of those rivers in that water. How fortunate we are that we know to remember the Saraswati, to remember the Godavari, to remember the Ganga, to remember the Yamuna, and bringing it in the water that will bathe the deities. Advaita Acharya was daily bathing the Shaligram Shila with Ganga water, and that's how he, you know, he started his worship like that. So all of us, we are not like Advaita Acharya, but just by invoking the Ganga in the water that we use for deity worship, we are getting that wonderful chance. I saw one devotee, you know, after being affected by COVID, he was using a small apparatus which is technically called a spirometer. So you must have seen it. There are three balls there inside, plastic balls. And then there is a pipe. And then to increase your lung capacity, you have to blow air into that. Like that. And the more you blow, those balls inside will go up. So the whole point is, if your lung capacity has gone down, keep blowing. And that's an exercise for the lungs. So that, yes. And one of our devotees who's thoughtful, he said, see, now we have come to a situation where we are given some small apparatus and some small machine for blowing air and for increasing the air capacity. And he said, at one point of time, every home used to have small deities or at least a Shaligram Shila. And then you have to do aarti. And how does the aarti begin? Blow a conch shell. So every single person used to blow a conch shell before he started aarti and when he ends aarti, and that is the whole point, is to blow air. And it was just natural in Vedic culture. So all that lung capacity and all that we have to now try using scientific apparatus was just natural in Vedic culture. Just blow a nice conch shell, and in that conch shell, it's not just for the lungs, definitely it's a very insignificant byproduct. By blowing the conch shell, you are attracting attention of people to something important that is going to happen. Please come, now there is aarti. Pong, like that, yes. In Prabhupada's life, one time he got a place. This is when he was a grihastha. And he didn't have much money. And he got that place for very less rent. And because he did not have money, he took it. But then he discovered that place was haunted. Yes, all of us know that story. And so there's somebody in a subtle form staying there. Yes. And what did Prabhupada do? Prabhupada, you know, he said, if you blow a conch shell, chant the holy names and blow the conch shell, all these spirits and all go away. Just think about the power of conch shell blowing. All these evil spirits that are there, they go away. Your lung capacity, you're creating a very auspicious atmosphere. All these things were very normal and very natural in Vedic culture. That's why Vedic culture is very valuable. Today, unfortunately, shoes are being sold in air-conditioned showrooms. Is it right? Yes. And eatables are sold on the street. Actually, it should be reverse, right? Something that goes inside the body, something that is offered to the deity, should be sold in well-protected air-conditioned showrooms. Food should be in air-conditioned showrooms. Shoes should be sold on the street. But Bata showroom, Nike showroom, that's how life is. So Vedic culture is very important, and all of you have heard the word mochi. Mochi means impure. So mochi, all of us also have heard the word mochi. So mochi and mochi, they're related actually. Mochi is the person who deals with leather, is dealing with animal skins. So because it is mochi, so it is connected to mochi. Why am I telling this story? One famous scientist, I'm not going to reveal the name here, but he's very well respected, and he was born in France. So he was born in a small village, and his father was a mochi. And you know, it smells horrible actually. When you skin and then you put it in a tannery, you put it into certain chemicals, it gets a very foul smell. But he grew up on that smell, and he studied chemistry in that smelly atmosphere. But because he was bright, he was sent to Paris for further studies. And when he went to Paris, first 4 or 6 weeks, he could not study there. So then his teachers there in Paris were asking him, why? So you are a very bright student. That's why you were sent from a small village to Paris for such an important college. So he said, actually, I'm missing that foul smell in my waist. So after 4 weeks, he again went back to his home and he had to study in that foul smell. You know, he's so much used to that foul smell. And then again he came and then slowly he changed himself for studying without foul smell. And we know of the story of how Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, he opened a Gaudiya Math in Burma, Brahmadesh. And then he was cooking something for the deities in ghee. And very beautiful, nice fragrance was coming. But what about the local people there? The local people were complaining. They said, hey, what is this foul smell coming? You know, ghee, something is being cooked in ghee. Yes, because they are used to that. Similarly, this scientist was used to foul smell. But in Vedic culture, such nice, you know, tastes, such nice cleanliness. I still remember, even in my childhood days, my parents are not devotees. But every time I came home from anywhere outside, wash your hands, wash your legs. Yes? And today I have seen young boys in Bombay, they wear shoes that they wear outside, inside the home also. Actually, it's considered very fashionable, it's considered very upper class that you wear shoes inside the home. So I have seen these young boys in their bedroom, in the kitchen. All the family members are wearing shoes inside the home. But that's what Americans do. But Americans do it because it is cold there or something else, what we don't want to compare. But then just because Westerners are doing it, that imitation is so important that you bring all the dirt inside to all the places where you are staying. So this kind of degradation is there. And if any one of us, you know, learned some good habits from our parents, even if they were not devotees, I'm sure you must be reminded of them. So all of us know habits are very sticky. You take out H, a bit still remains. And you take out A, bit still remains. And you take out the B, it still remains. So we heard long back. So what does this mean? Habits are sticky means bad habits are also sticky. So any one of us had some bad habits, then they are very sticky, but it also has another side to it. Any one of us has so many good habits, those good habits are also sticky. Any habits are sticky. So if we stick to good devotees, sincere devotees, then we will imbibe good qualities from them. If we are not attracted to reading Srila Prabhupada books every day, but if we know somebody who reads Srila Prabhupada books every day, just by staying close, that habit will stick. And habits are sticky. It does not matter whether good or bad. So then you'll also develop that habit. I'll tell you my own story. When I joined the ashram, in the first year, you know, getting up early and all, every day, no matter what, becomes a little difficult. And the way our temple is in Bombay, it is surrounded by all kinds of buildings around. So there's no fresh air like you have here. So one day I came late from a program, next day I got up, and during chanting I was just dozing continuously. Then I thought, just outside the temple hall, there is a Gaur Nitai hall, and outside there is a corridor on which there are lockers. So first time in my life, I walked out of the temple hall and I went and sat on the lockers there, hoping to get some fresh air. And I'm chanting Hare Krishna. And one senior brahmachari of our temple came there and he shouted at me with such a loud voice. I cannot do it on the microphone, but he's, you know, in a very soft way, I'm saying, that's not how he spoke. He said, what are you doing here? Get inside. So this must be 2006, 2005, 2006. And I don't remember anything else, but he just, what are you doing? Get inside. Don't chant japa. Chant in the temple hall. I can honestly tell you, and there are some friends from my temple also here. Yes. From that day, I have not come out of the temple hall for chanting. Yes, because that impression went so hard inside that, you know, you have to sit inside the temple hall and chant inside the temple hall. And in those days, you know, there used to be japa circles. Now things have changed. But all of us, you know, in that Brahmachari ashram, there used to be a notice. And the names of five Brahmacharis
would be 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. And niche list, who's 1, who's 2. And so this japa circle will sit on Prabhupada's left side. This japa circle will sit on Prabhupada's right side. This will in the whole temple hall had these japa circles. And you had a fixed place in the japa circle. And because you were answerable to somebody, and that devotee would ask you, I didn't see you in the japa circle. See, today when we don't have japa circles, nobody knows who's not there for japa, who's there for japa. Somebody who's sleeping, somebody is sleeping unnecessarily, right? But imagine five devotees sitting in a japa circle every day. And if one of them is missing, one of the four who's missing him will go and ask him, Prabhu, I subah dikhe nahi. So if he's sick, he will say, yeah, yeah, I was having back pain or I came late. So, oh, can I give you some medicine? Yes. Or if it was a mistake, it was laziness, then he will say, sorry, but you know, I was just too sleepy today, I was lazy today. Then he will say, okay, Prabhu, what I will do is tomorrow, I'll wake you up and make sure that you are there with me for japa. And because you are feeling sleepy nowadays, I'll make sure that, you know, I'll catch your hand or I'll wake you. They're both ways. If it's a genuine case, it's a concern. And if it is laziness, then this person is extending himself to wake him up. So the japa circle was very important, right? And chanting in the temple was very important, right? And now the situation is not there. So all of us are paying a price for that. But I was just thinking, you know, all of these simple things are so nice and so important and so helpful actually. So Vedic culture is very nice, giving us nice good habits and always asking us to go ahead. I made a list of all the major holy places in India. And just see, Mathura has Yamuna River next to it. Ayodhya has Sharyu River. Pandharpur has Bhima River. Varanasi has Ganga River. Prayag, of course, confluence. Hastinapur, Yamuna again. Ujjain, Shipra River. And Madurai, I already mentioned, Vaigai River. So if you see all the holy places in India, in fact, I can also say all the major cities in India, like Pune is not a special holy place, but it's one of the oldest cities. But that also has a Mutha River next to it. So civilization always would be next to a river. And all the temples and all, because deity worship means water. You need a lot of water for deity worship. So all the major cities and all the major holy places, all the major temples, they were always next to a river. Rivers are very important. This is Canto 2, chapter number 10 and shloka number 29. 2.10.29. So the translation is, when this is describing the creation, when there was a desire to have food and drink, the abdomen and the intestines and also the arteries became manifested. So this is about the Supreme Lord. The rivers and seas are the source of their sustenance and metabolism. And now purport by Srila Prabhupada. Very interesting purport. The controlling deities of the intestines are the rivers. And those of the arteries, the seas. Fulfillment of the belly with food and drink is the cause of sustenance. And the metabolism of the food and drink replaces the waste of the bodily energies. Therefore, the body's health is dependent on healthy actions of the intestines and the arteries. And the last sentence. The rivers and the seas, being the controlling deities of the two, keep the intestines and the arteries in healthy order. So if somebody has an artery disease, if the arteries are not functioning properly, then it is recommended according to Ayurveda, you should regularly take a bath in the sea. And if the intestines are not functioning properly, digestion issues are there, then it is recommended that you should take a bath regularly in the river. Why? Because the river is like the intestine of the original Supreme Lord. Just like these eyes are incapable of seeing till the Supreme Lord's eyes see. Ravi Lochan, one of the names of the Lord is Ravi Lochan. Or in the Gita, Shashi Surya Netrayo. So Shashi and Surya are the eyes of the Supreme Lord. So till the Supreme Lord sees, the eye of the Supreme Lord, the sun rises and there is Prakash, till that time we cannot see. These flesh eyes cannot see. So we are dependent on the Supreme Lord's seeing for our seeing. Similarly, our digestion, if it is weak, then we should take bath in the river. If our blood flow has some problems, then we should take bath in the sea. Just see how Vedic culture is teaching us to be always smartavyam satatam Vishnu, vismartavyam na jatu chit. So many of our diseases, probably we now go for the fast remedy of allopathy. But if you go to Ayurveda, Ayurveda is a little bit slow in its action. But one interesting thing is, because it comes from the Vedas, the origin is Lord Dhanvantri, who is an incarnation of Lord Vishnu. While undergoing the treatment, somewhere, the Vedas will come. So if you have the patience and if you have that kind of tolerance for very tasty kadhas, all the kashayas and all the kadhas are very sweet actually, if you remember the Lord. Otherwise, they are not so sweet. So if you have tolerance and if you have little bit patience, then one interesting thing is, through all that medicine, there will be remembrance of Lord Vishnu, and so many times, how you should bathe in the river and how you should bathe in the ocean. It's all part of culture. And some years back, I had done some research on water. So that time I had found this out. There was a Japanese scientist. His name is Dr. Masaru Emoto. So please don't check on your phones right now. That's what we do, right? We audit the speaker. Is this right? So this is Dr. Masaru Emoto, who is a Japanese scientist. He left this world in 2014. And for 20 years, he was just researching water. And what he found out is, in water, if you just magnify it, there are small crystals. And he found out, if you expose water to different sounds, then different kinds of crystals are formed. So he exposed water to very haphazard sound. And when ice was formed from that water, if you went deep into it, then the crystals were very irregular and very not pleasing to the eye. And when he exposed the water to very pleasing, soothing classical music, flute, something like that, he found out the crystals were very beautifully shaped, very nicely shaped. And some distressful sounds, somebody crying and like that kind of sounds, then the crystals were hollow in the center. So, after the class, if you have time, you can check out how he did all this. There's one Dr. Montaner in France. What he did is, there was some virus and he took small DNA of that virus and he put it into water sample. Now, DNA is extremely, extremely small. I put it into water and then he diluted that small water to a very high degree. It's basically, now the DNA is no longer there only. There's so much water there. And then he exposed that water to electromagnetic signals. And those electromagnetic signals that were produced, when he passed those through that water, he recorded it and he passed it digitally to another lab in Italy, which is 1500 kilometers from France. And there, those electromagnetic signals which were received, so now physically, 1500 kilometers away. It has nothing to do with France now. Those electromagnetic signals, he again exposed them to water. So now in that water, is that DNA there? Obviously not. In that water, they did PCR. So PCR is polymerase chain reaction. And what they do is, whenever they want to make a copy of the DNA, this PCR technology is used. So that electromagnetic radiation, they put it into water, and from that water they did that PCR. And they found out that water gave an indication of 98% of the original DNA, which was originally there in France. So now this Japanese scientist has nothing to do with this French scientist. They are doing the research independently. So both of them are proposing. Obviously, the scientific world does not accept all this because this is all humbug. Right? Anything that does not fit into the modern understanding is already discarded. It is not even considered. But both of them are strongly saying water has memory. If you take a glass of water and you're constantly singing Hare Krishna Mahamantra, the water remembers the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. May not be in the same way that you and me do. The parrot, you know, parrot also you can teach parrot to chant Hare Krishna. But the difference is, when death comes, the parrot is not going to chant Hare Krishna. Now you and me, we understand the meaning behind the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. So when death comes, you'll forget everything, you'll just raise your Hare Krishna, right? But a parrot, you know, whole life is Bolo Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, he'll chant like that. But when death comes, when the cat comes, catches its neck, you know, he's going to shout like that, right? But the memory is there. He may not be able to utilize that memory. Similarly, water has memory. So that's why every single temple, you go to South India, all temples have these kundas next to the temple. In Bengal, they call it pukur. Any temple you go, there's pukur there. Is it not? So all these kundas, all these pukurs, the body of water next to the temple, actually, even by atheistic, non-believer scientists, has memory there. And just, I'm just remembering right from my childhood days, anywhere we go, a visit to a holy place is incomplete without taking darshan of the deity, taking mahaprasad of the deity, and taking bath in the holy river or in the holy kunda that is next to the temple. So imagine, even if you are a non-believer, no faith, just the fact that so many exalted devotees, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you know, visited South India, he must have bathed, all those places are mentioned. Shripad Ramanujacharya visited so many holy places. He must have bathed in all those kundas, Madhavacharya, Shankaracharya. All that purity is there. And that's why when we go there, the minimum benefit that we can get is just by bathing in those special holy waters. And that's basically part of culture. The holy rivers that are mentioned today, I have just taken a few rivers. We'll talk about the Ganga river. Every single Purana and every single Upanishad is incomplete without a reference to the Ganga. So special. In the Chaitanya Bhagavat, you know, the story is mentioned of chastisement of Devanand Pandit. Devanand Pandit was a Bhagavatam speaker. And one time when he was speaking katha, Srivas Pandit was sitting in the katha. And as he is speaking the Bhagavatam katha, Srivas Pandit became ecstatic. And, you know, he started speaking and started experiencing. And Devanand Pandit, as a speaker on the Vyasasan, unfortunately felt disturbance by that ecstatic emotions. So the whole point of the katha is for the person to experience, feel that he is part of that story, and he is so fortunate that he was. But Devanand Pandit took it as a disturbance and he had his followers take him out. So later, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu meets Devanand Pandit and severely chastises him. And he says, actually you are such a big expert in the Bhagavatam and you are quoting shlokas left and right, but you do not have an iota of understanding of Srimad Bhagavatam. Why? Because the Bhagavat is always two. The person Bhagavat and the book Bhagavat. The book Bhagavat will become extremely difficult to understand and will sometimes become impractical to understand without having darshan of the devotee Bhagavat. Because you will say, I don't think anybody can do all this. But when you see a devotee Bhagavat, then it becomes easier to understand the book Bhagavat. And if you meet only the person Bhagavat, then sometimes the person Bhagavat, just like for this person, he does not understand the book Bhagavat, but he is seeing the person Bhagavat. The person Bhagavat seems to be like a mad person. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, if anybody would have seen him without understanding who he is, it's crazy behavior. As soon as he sees the Lord, he's dancing and he's experiencing divine ecstasy, divine madness. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, there's one shloka I remember. Ami eka batul, tumi eka batul. Batul batul mile hoye samatul. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, I think Advaita Acharya. Batul, it comes from the root word vata. So madness, according to Ayurveda, is increase of vata. So many 80% of the diseases, bodily diseases, are because of vata. Same, that vata, if it is not controlled, if it goes into the head, then you become crazy. So in Sanskrit, vatul means mad person. They say, ami eka batul, tumi eka batul. Batul batul mile hoye samatul. I am mad, you are mad. When two mad people become, then it becomes equal. So in that sense, you know. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is chastising Devanand Pandit. He said, how foolish you are that you draw Srivas Pandit out of your class. So after that, Srila Vrindavandas Thakur, he mentions that Lord Krishna appears in this world in four forms. He appears as Tulasi. He appears as the Srimad Bhagavatam. He appears as the Ganga. And he appears as the pure devotee. And then he says, even for the deity form, you have to first install the deity. You have to do prana pratishtha. And the deity becomes worshipable only after prana pratishtha. But Tulasi, Srimad Bhagavatam, Ganga and the pure devotee, they are forms of Krishna right from their origin. So Ganga is so pure. Ganga specifically received a lot of mercy from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Ganga Devi, she could not participate so much in Lord Krishna's pastimes. So she prayed to the Supreme Lord. Next time when you come, you please give me mercy. And that's why Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu enacted so many pastimes in Ganga. I'll just discuss a few of the pastimes which are mentioned about Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So in his childhood days, he would go to the banks of the Ganga and there would be Brahmanas at different places come sometimes with their Shivalinga and sometimes with their Shaligram Shila, flowers, Chandan, Durva, grass. And Nimai, when they would close their eyes, he would sometimes take it away. Sometimes they would make all preparations for the puja and then they would go for a bath. And when by the time they would go for a bath, Nimai would eat the offerings, throw away everything, and this person comes from the bath and he says, all my paraphernalia has gone missing. And sometimes some Brahman would come with a Bhagavad Gita and Nimai would steal the Bhagavad Gita. Sometimes some Brahman would take a bath and after taking the bath, he is clean. Nimai would spit his mouth water on him. He's actually purifying him. But apparently, you know, that person would get very angry. Oh, I took a bath. So it seems Nimai wanted all the devotees to take baths repeatedly. They take a bath. Take a bath, yes. So repeatedly people had to take a bath because of Nimai. Nimai wanted them to get more and more purified. So all these Brahmanas, they would go to Jagannath Mishra and they would complain. One would say, Nimai comes and sits on my shoulders and then he says, I am Mahesh. And then he would jump from the shoulders. And one Brahman said, all this is tolerable. But one thing that he does is simply intolerable. He says, the men would bathe at one place and the females would bathe at one place and Nimai would mix their clothes. And he said, this is like so difficult for us. And the young girls, they went and complained to Shachi Mata. The males would go and complain to Jagannath Mishra. And Shachi Mata, they would complain. When we come with our paraphernalia for worshipping the Lord, he says, why are you worshipping him? He is my servant. And sometimes he would say, all this, they are offering some better. He would go and eat. He would sit there and eat. And they say, why are you eating? He said, no, I am Lord Vishnu. And all these girls, they would really get frustrated. And they went to Shachi Mata. So that day, Shachi Mata told the father, Jagannath Mishra. And Jagannath Mishra said, he really became angry. And he said, now I have to check out, why does Nimai do all this? Nimai was supposed to go to the school and then return back. But after the school, 2 hours of school, and these Brahmins, Chaitanya Bhagavat mentions, they complained, till afternoon 2 o'clock he's in the river. So 2 hours of school, morning only he's supposed to return to the home. But afternoon 2 o'clock he's in the river, and some of them in a very genuine care and concern mood, they said, actually we are not troubled by Nimai, but we are just concerned about his health. So much time in the cold river, it is not good for his health, no. So that day, Jagannath Mishra, he went in a very angry mood and he said, now I have to see where Nimai is. And the friends of Nimai saw Jagannath Mishra coming. Said, Nimai, your father is coming. So Nimai, because he's Krishna, he is the absolute truth, but he lies a lot. So he told all of them, if he asks, you know what you have to say. He said, of course, we have to tell him that you were here. No! You have to tell him he was not here. He didn't come. He never comes. So he quickly left from another way to his home, and Jagannath Mishra comes to the river. So where is Nimai? And then they are also good gopas. So they say, Nimai, he never comes here. He is never here. We don't know where Nimai is. Mostly he must have gone to his home. So Jagannath Mishra is saying, all these Brahmins, so many Brahmins, they can't lie. Yes. In Vrindavan also, all these gopis, elderly gopis, Vatsalya Ras gopis, they are coming and speaking to Yashoda Mai, complaining every day. Your child Krishna steals at our home. Don't you feed him nicely? And she's Yashoda Rani. She's the queen of Vrindavan. So she is thinking, I am the queen of Vrindavan and all my subjects are complaining, don't I feed my child nicely? Is this a good? So similarly, all these gopas here, no, our Jagannath Mishra is thinking, these brahmanas won't lie. He can lie, one, two, three. Some of them can lie, but not all. All of them are regularly complaining, means there is some truth in it. So Jagannath Mishra, now not finding Nimai, he goes back to his home. And meanwhile, Nimai has reached home. And because he's the Supreme Lord, he knows the art of making his hair dry without any external help. So he's gone from the river, but his clothes are dry. His hair is dry. And he comes and sits on the lap of Shachimata. And that day, he's extra lovable. He's already lovable, but that day, to mask his mischief. So he's saying, Mother, how are you? What are you thinking now? And Shachimata wants to love him, but she is thinking, all of them came and complained, and I also complained to Jagannath Mishra. Jagannath Mishra went angrily, and all of them are saying he's there in the river till 2 o'clock, but his hair is all dry. His clothes are all dry. And then she looked at the clothes, and there was some dust also. While walking from the school to the home, there is dust in Mayapur. So there's some dust also. There's no way my Nimai was in water. At least the dust will not be there. And then she looked at the clothes. There were some spots of black ink on the clothes. So that day only there were some spots. And Vrindavandas Thakur mentions, on the golden body of Nimai, those black spots were looking like a beautiful golden champak flower was attracting some bumblebees. And then she is now completely convinced all of these Brahmins must have lied. But Jagannath Mishra is not convinced. So Jagannath Mishra comes, and Jagannath Mishra again in that duvidha is thinking, they complained, but friends are saying not that. Let me find out what to do. And then he comes and sees that on Shachimata's lap, little Nimai is there and is very smiling, and Shachimata is also loving. And then he jumps from Shachimata's lap to Jagannath Mishra's lap. And as soon as he goes there, gone. All the anger and everything, you know, it did not melt. You know, perfumes, they don't, right? Effervescent. They directly become vapors. So similarly, all his anger and all, it just vanished. And Vrindavandas Thakur says, nobody can estimate the happiness the Shachimata and Jagannath Mishra were having in this childhood pastimes. So all these pastimes happened in Ganga River because Ganga River wanted the mercy of the Supreme Lord. In the Bhagavatam, the first canto and the third canto, there are some shlokas which are glorifying Ganga Devi, and I am just mentioning them. So how Ganga Devi is the shelter for those who are about to die. This is canto 1. Shloka number, chapter number 3, shloka number 42, 1.3.42, the translation mentions, Emperor Parikshit received the information of his death in time, and he at once left his kingdom and family and sat down on the bank of the Ganges to fast till death. Ganga is shelter for those who have already died. 1.8.1, Prabhupada writes, To date, it is the custom in Hindu society to go to the Ganges or any other sacred river to take bath when death occurs in the family. Each of the family members pours out a potful of Ganga water for the departed soul and walks in a procession with the ladies in the front. How Ganga is the shelter for traveling sages. 3.8.5. Ganges is the only celestial river which flows throughout the universe, and great sages travel all over the universe via this sacred river. How Ganga is the shelter for those who are living. This is 1.19.7. The Lord is so kind that He has spread the river Ganges throughout the universe so that by taking bath in that holy river, everyone can get release from the reactions of sins which occur at every step. How the constant remembrance of the Lord can come from the Ganges is 1.19.7. The banks of the Ganges or the Yamuna give one a chance to remember the Lord continuously. And this is 3.5.41, how the Ganga can save one from Yamraj. Even Sripad Shankaracharya recommends that a little knowledge of the Bhagavad Gita and the drinking of a little quantity of Ganges water can save one from the punishment of Yamraj. So Gangaji is very holy. There is one story in the Puranas that one time Garud, he caught one snake. And snake was a long snake. So the front part was in the claws of Garud, and the body was hanging like this. And when the Garud was carrying this snake, the tip of the snake accidentally touched the water, Ganga water. And as soon as, because he's helpless, you know, when somebody's about to eat you, you're really helpless. So he was in a very humble mood, offenseless, his Namaba stage. So the tip of that tail of the snake touched the Ganga water, and that snake transformed into a four-handed Vaikuntha form. So Garud caught hold of food and saw 2 moments later that it was a four-handed Vaikuntha form. So then Garud very respectfully put that snake on his back and then carried him to Vaikuntha. Yes. It is mentioned, even if you are far from the Ganga, but if you just remember the Ganga, you get purified. If the breeze that has touched the Ganga is flowing and it touches your body, it purifies you. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, after he took sannyas, he went into Radha Desh. Radha Desh means that's the place where Ganga does not flow. It's very interesting. It is mentioned that the place where Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was there for 3 days, you know, he was in that part of the Bengal, he found that not many people there were chanting the holy names. And then Nityanand Prabhu tricked Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and brought him to Ganga. And when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came near Shantipur, on this side Kalna is there, so there he found that many people were chanting the holy names. So just by physical proximity to the Ganga, even if you don't know anything, the spiritual effect of Ganga is there to produce a spiritual devotional mood in the people. Yamuna is so dear to the Lord. When Vasudev was carrying Lord Krishna as early as that, what to speak of so many water pastimes and Nauka Vihar Leela that happened and all that. But baby, Vasudev is carrying that baby, and Yamuna is eager to touch the form of the Lord, and Yamuna for no reason is building up, and Vasudev is carrying Krishna in the basket. So in one purport, Prabhupada mentions Krishna fell into the river Yamuna, and sometimes it is mentioned that the river Yamuna went high to such a point that it touched the feet of Krishna, and as soon as it touched the feet of Krishna, then it subsided. Chaitanya Mangal mentions one story of how Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu one time went to the banks of Ganga, and the Brahmanas were doing their puja, and the women were filling their pots, and the young children were playing games, and for no reason, there was no storm, there was no reason, the Ganga river also rose and touched the feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and then again receded. So I just reminded of that. So there is so much emphasis in Vedic culture on getting purified and being part of the same Vedic culture we are here. Of course, the Srimad Bhagavatam mentions a very beautiful shloka. Tirthi kurvanti bhavadvida bhagavatas tirtha bhuta svayam vibho. Tirthi kurvanti tirthani svantastena gadabhrita. When Vidur, he returns from his pilgrimage, then Yudhishthir Maharaj asks him, so my dear uncle, where were you? How did you survive? And during that conversation he mentions, Saintly people like you are holy places personified. Tirthi kurvanti tirthani. Actually, when Ganga Devi comes into this world, we glorified Ganga Devi. But when Ganga Devi comes into this world, in the last stage, it took three generations. Dilip, Amshuman and Bhagirath Maharaj. Similarly, the Gita Amrit, we are celebrating this book marathon. For the Gita Ganga, Gyan Ganga of Gita to be spread throughout the world, three generations it took. Bhakti Vinod Thakur had a deep desire that one day the Russians will come and bathe in the warm waters of the Bay of Bengal and they will raise their hands and they will chant, Jai Sachinandan Gaur Hari. Jai Sachinandan Gaur Hari. And he mentioned that desire to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati took that desire and made it into an institution. And then His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada took it all over the world. So it took three generations for the Gita Ganga to flow. Similarly, the original Ganga also, it took three generations. And when the final coming is about to happen, the Ganga says, okay, I'm willing to come now. But I have two questions. One is, I have such a strong flow. It is the water of the Karana ocean that is coming inside. So it is strong flow. Ganga says, if there is not a suitable person to hold me, when I fall on the earth, I will make a hole in the earth. The earth planet, I can go through the earth, that strong flow I have. So do you have a solution for this? And second question is, I am coming from the upper planets, Mandakini. But on the earth, in Kali Yuga especially, there will be so many sinful people. I don't know how I will handle the sins of so many sinful people. These are the two questions that Ganga Devi asked Bhagirath Maharaj. And Bhagirath Maharaj says, simple, two answers. One, he says, I'll request Lord Shiva. But Lord Shiva can take you in his jata. He is only that one person who can handle your flow. And second question you said about sinful people, I can tell you, the pure devotees of Lord Krishna, when they come and bathe in your waters, they will take all your sins and purify you. So when we get darshan of pure devotees, we get darshan of Srila Prabhupada every day, wherever we are, and we get darshan of a spiritual master, wherever we are, in the form of a photograph at least. So we should understand how important it is for us to understand this particular conversation, that Ganga is the purifier of the whole universe and that Ganga Devi is concerned about her contamination. And Bhagirath Maharaj very simply answers, when pure devotees of the Supreme Lord, Swantahasthena Gadabhrita. Gadabhrita means the Lord, and Swantahasthena, Jinke Hriday mein Bhagavan Swayam Rehte Hain. So that those personalities, when they bathe in your waters, you will get free from that contamination. So the Bhagavatam not only asks us to take a bath in Ganga. One time His Holiness, I'll end with this. His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj was saying, there are three ways in which Ganga Devi can benefit. One way is that Ganga Devi is just a river of water. And so in this way, she can provide for drinking water, she can provide for irrigation, for crops. And so much of Uttar Pradesh and that part is just reliant on Bengal also. They just use Ganga water for crops. Yes. Second, he said, it's a holy place of pilgrimage. So anybody who wants a child, they go to Ganga and say, I want a child. Somebody wants success or profit in their business, then they'll go to Ganga and say, oh, Ma Ganga, please give me success. And so she blesses them. But the third way in which we can have a relationship with Ganga is, we can actually pray to her that you are the Charanamrit of the Lord and you are so dear to the Lord. Please give us pure devotional service. So, ye yatha mam prapadyante. So, this is how Ganga Devi can also reciprocate with us, and Ganga Devi is so much dependent on pure devotees of the Lord. And we are fortunate that we are born in India and we don't need a passport and we don't need a visa and we don't need a lot of money to go to any holy place where Yamuna is flowing, Saraswati is flowing. Before writing the Bhagavatam, it is mentioned Vyas Rishi, he touched the water of Saraswati, purified himself and then started writing the Bhagavatam. When Shukdev Goswami wanted to speak the Bhagavatam, that also happened on the banks of Ganga. Jiva Goswami mentions it happened on the banks of Yamuna, but Ganga or Yamuna, any. So we are so fortunate that we are staying in this holy land of Bharatvarsha, so many holy rivers here, and Prabhupada is mentioning in the translation, the inhabitants of Bharatvarsha are purified because they always remember these rivers. So we should remember. Sometimes they chant the names of these rivers as mantras. Ganga, Yamuna, Saraswati, Godavari. And sometimes they go directly to the rivers to touch them and bathe in them. Thus the inhabitants of Bharatvarsha become purified. So we are very grateful to Srila Prabhupada to not only give us access to the Ganga River, but also to give us access to the right mood of approaching the Ganga River. And of course, we are very grateful to him for giving us the Gita Ganga, which is not only flowing in Bharatvarsha, but also flowing all over the universe, all over the world, because of his purports. So thank you so much. If I have transgressed any boundaries or broken any etiquette, please forgive me. I'm just trying to glorify and speak according to the purport and the shloka. Jai Srimad Bhagavat Mahapuran ki jai. Jai Srila Prabhupad ki jai. Ananta Koti Vaishnav Vrind ki jai. Jai Nitai Gaur Premanande Hari Hari Bol.